1.3 million gallons of fuel have been delivered to icebound Nome, Alaska, finally. And as you know, it wasn't easy. We recall those pictures of the Coast Guard cutter, the Healy, trying to break the ice of the Bering Sea so that a Russian tanker could get close enough to Nome to pump the fuel. Well, the story highlights an aging infrastructure, ports that are too shallow, icebreakers too old, and a region maybe not as equipped for new realities as, say, Russia is. Joining us from the NPR studios in Washington is Margaret Chris Hobson, a reporter for the online environment and energy newsletter GreenWire. And so, Margie, we know even after the tanker got close to Nome, it still had to stretch a sort of gas line across the ice to pump the fuel to the docks to the waiting people there. The port just isn't deep enough, and the Coast Guard doesn't have the resources it needs?
No, it doesn't. Right now, they have one icebreaker. Alaska is a very, very large area, has a lot of inlets, and as global warming increases the open season for the waters in the Arctic, you're going to see a lot more ship traffic. But we have one icebreaker. We have very few resources up in the Arctic area. And we have two other icebreakers that are larger that might be able to help down the road, but one of them has been decommissioned, and the other one is under repairs until, I believe, the last date was 2013. So right now, with more traffic coming in, we are in kind of a bad spot.
We'll talk a little more about the climate change and global warming, because it means that ice is melting so that in the summer time there's far more commercial traffic and people are wanting to get in there and maybe, you know, boost industry. But they need things like, you know, literally gas stations for ships. You know, they need ports and things. On the other hand, it's still ice bound in the winter. So you have this, you know, much more traffic, but what? Not enough ability to get in there and build things to accommodate the traffic?
It's more money than time to do it. Of course, it would take longer because of the, you'd have to do it during the summertime period. There was an Arctic Council, which is a coalition of Arctic nations. They came out with reports that said by mid-century, the Arctic could be nearly free of ice in the summertime. That's an amazing thing if you think about the amount of ice that's up there even still now during the summer. But we don't have the facilities because just haven't built it over time. There was some consideration various times of building a deep water port, but it's expensive. Putting those kinds of resources in require either the government to put in or the businesses to put in, and it's a lot of money.
Well, yes, a deep water port you'd have to dredge. That would take years. Onshore harbors are also hard. There's been talk about offshore, you know, harboring. But, you know, what are the issues that might stand in the way of this besides money? Are there environmental concerns?
Oh, definitely. There are environmental concerns. And the native communities up there have a lot of concerns, too. They still depend on subsistence marine activity, you know, the fishing, going out and getting the whales. Their communities are very small. They have enough water and wastewater and housing facilities for themselves and maybe a couple of guests. I was up there a couple summers ago and ended up staying in a school building because that's the only facility that they had for me. Yeah. It would be hard if you have anyone coming through just for the environmental side, for the housing side, for the community side. Environmentally, we have a lot of endangered species that are up there or like critical habitat that's up there. I wasn't able to get in my story into as much on the environmental side because I think people are still exploring that. You know, they've got to figure it out. Nobody knows.
But staying with that, the question of the environment, here you have, as you said, because of the shrinking of the Arctic ice cap, you have much more traffic, shipping routes opening up, call for more fuel and harbors and deep water ports. But I would assume that this would also impact the call for more drilling.
Oh, it is. This summer, you'll probably see Shell Oil begin to do some exploratory drilling in the Chukchi Sea. There's never been any, well, there has in the past, but very, very a long time ago, they did a little bit of exploratory drilling. Now you have a number of different companies all sort of chomping at the bit because of some estimates that have come out that there are enormous amount of oil that's underneath the Arctic. So all of the nations on the Arctic coast are really looking to start to develop that oil. And, you know, the industry is very, very interested, let's put it that way.
Well, and it really underscores that climate change really, really is happening as it impacts that region. Margaret Chris Hobson covers environmental and energy issues for the online newsletter GreenWire on how climate change is impacting areas in Alaska. Margaret, thanks so much.
Thank you.